Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Olivia Leo, Mario Ritter, and Brian Lynn. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today. Then Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
A Chinese general's shortened visit to Vietnam has raised concerns about whether this could be a sign of a major change in relations. China and Vietnam are currently involved in a dispute over territory they both claim to own in the South China Sea. General Fan Chongliang is part of a group of Chinese officials that came to visit the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi, this week. The general suddenly left the country after a private meeting with Vietnamese defense officials on Tuesday. There are some differences in public and private reports of what happened. Chinese and Vietnamese state-run media report that defense relations are going well. They say the defense ministries of both countries reached an agreement on how to train members of their militaries. But experts say government sources told them that discussions about the disputed South China Sea might have led Fan to cut short his visit. China is currently building man-made islands and military infrastructure in the South China Sea, which Vietnam calls the East Sea. And Vietnam has made efforts to form military partnerships with Japan and the United States. Recently, Vietnam has also permitted a foreign company to explore for oil in the area known as the Vanguard Bank. The country has long claimed Vanguard Bank, about 700 kilometers off the coast, as part of its continental shelf. Lei Hong Hip is a researcher at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute in Singapore. He could only wonder about the dispute because there is no official information about it. In the past, Vietnam has been under pressure to continue its growth rate, so it has had discussions on increasing oil exploration on the South China Sea, he said. Vietnam's activities in the South China Sea have touched China's interests, and as usual, China will find ways to prevent the country from seeking them, he said. This may be why Fan suddenly ended his visit, he added. Carl Thayer is a Southeast Asia expert based in Australia. He said it is likely that Fan asked Vietnam to stop the search for oil in Vanguard Bank. Thayer said China wants Vietnam to continue with their past agreement not to explore for oil in disputed areas. But Lei Hong Hip said what makes things difficult is the two countries see the agreement differently. Vietnam believes it owns Vanguard Bank, while China calls it a disputed territory. In May 2014, China put a large oil drilling platform about 193 kilometers off the coast of Vietnam. This led to a series of conflicts between the two countries. I'm Katie Weaver.
The United Nations says amphetamines and synthetic or man-made drugs are a new threat to communities in Asia. UN officials have reported an increase in the production and use of such substances. 2 million pills of the drug methamphetamine were seized last weekend in northern Thailand. Drug traffickers tried to pass a road guarded by police in Chiang Rai province, but soldiers and police saw them. One trafficker was shot dead. The incident took place near the Golden Triangle region of Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar. That area is known for drug production. Methamphetamine is a synthetic drug. It can affect behavior by changing how the brain thinks. Synthetic drugs are responsible for many drug overdoses. Some overdoses are accidental. In others, the person may take large amounts of the drug on purpose.
The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, noted in a recent report that methamphetamine production and seizure rates have increased. The report said that 287 million methamphetamine pills were seized in East and Southeast Asia in 2015. That is more than two times the amount of pills seized in 2011. The UNODC said Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam were thought to have an increase in the use of methamphetamine pills in 2015. Cambodia, China, the Philippines, Singapore, and Vietnam all reported increases in use and trafficking of crystalline methamphetamine. Crystalline methamphetamine is a liquid form of the drug. UNODC data shows that the flow of illegal drugs continues to rise across the Greater Mekong subregion, an area covering six countries. Methamphetamine has been a leading product in the illegal drug trade for many years.
Synthetic drugs made in secret laboratories in Asia are sold in markets as far away as North America. The United States is currently facing an opioid epidemic. Opioids are drugs that reduce pain. They are causing up to 60,000 deaths a year nationwide. In Shik Shim is a UNODC information specialist in Thailand. He told VOA that while methamphetamine seizures increased nearly seven times over the past 10 years, heroin seizures are largely unchanged. He said increases in methamphetamine use have also raised concerns in China, Singapore, and Malaysia. Olivier Lerme is a UNODC regional advisor. Lerme said in an email to VOA that amphetamine-type stimulants, a kind of drug, are easy to produce and are made in laboratories close to where the drugs are sold.
With a growing middle class and rising incomes, more people are turning to methamphetamines. Men, women, older adults, and young people are buying the drug. The UNODC report said organized crime groups play a significant role in methamphetamine manufacturing and trafficking in the region. These groups include those in northeastern Myanmar, eastern China, and Taiwan. Traffickers target markets with high earnings, such as Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. In fact, seizures of crystalline methamphetamine at the borders of these four nations have increased rapidly in recent years, the UNODC said. The United Nations has called on countries to have a more balanced response to drugs. It wants countries to place more importance on treatment.
But Southeast Asia has been slow to reform its drug laws, and some countries have launched a war on drugs. In the Philippines, police and unidentified gunmen have killed more than 7,000 people during the presidency of Rodrigo Duterte. In Thailand, up to 70% of all 300,000 prisoners in jail were sentenced on drug-related charges. But activists say there is need for reform to fight drug use. They say programs that require drug users to go to special treatment centers should end. Voluntary community-based treatment and services should come into effect, they say.
Joe Meyer is a Catholic clergyman who operates aid projects in Khlong Doi, one of the poorest areas in Thailand. He said the government offers communities little support in providing activities to keep people away from drugs. Meyer said the government has never put money into community efforts. He said they never have dumped huge amounts of money into sports. The government does not see sports fields, athletics, and sport programs, and sports heroes as combating drugs, Meyer said. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Olivia Liu.
IKEA is known for designing furniture that people can put together themselves. Recently, a team from the Swedish company spent time inside a Mars research center to get new design ideas. For 3 days, five IKEA designers lived inside the Mars Desert Research Station in the U.S. state of Utah. The center is operated by the Mars Society. It simulates a Mars environment for humans taking part in experiments and training. Real astronauts have spent long periods of time inside the research center to prepare for space flights. It's a crazy, fun experience, said IKEA creative leader Michael Nikolich, who took part in the project. We're basically completely isolated for 3 days to get a taste of what astronauts go through for 3 years. The team spent most of its time inside the Mars Habitat, a round two-story building just 8 meters in diameter. The habitat contains a laboratory for doing experiments, as well as separate areas for eating, sleeping, and other activities. The habitat attempts to create an environment similar to conditions astronauts would experience during a real Mars mission. It also prepares future space travelers for living in very small areas with limited supplies. Some people, including SpaceX founder Elon Musk, have talked about setting up a human colony on Mars in the future. The IKEA researchers received NASA training before heading to the research center. Their guide during the habitat visit was space architect Constance Adams. She said the experience was meant to show the team how conditions in space affect the whole design process. For example, air is very limited in space and must be reused for many months, even years. This means all living materials have to be designed with this in mind. Another consideration is the huge cost of space transportation. Adams said it would currently cost about $2 million to transport just 1 kilo of mass to the surface of Mars. This makes it impractical for IKEA to send materials to Mars unless the cost can greatly be reduced. But the company says by looking to space, it hopes to come up with better design ideas for people on Earth. Marcus Engman is IKEA's head of design.
My dream outcome would be to solve the biggest problem on Earth. I guess it's the same problem in space, and that is the thing about storage. How could you make storage in a completely new way?
He said putting the designers in such a different and demanding environment forces them to think much more creatively.
Then, from out of that, we get solutions that I think will work on Earth better than anything.
The IKEA designers are also working with people from NASA and students from Sweden's Lund University to create a space-inspired furniture collection to launch in 2019. And who knows, IKEA might even make it to Mars someday. If so, the company's popular products could be discovered by new life forms we don't even yet know about. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is what's trending today. Earthquakes are not uncommon in Southern California. Citizens there know how to react and respond if the ground starts shaking. On Wednesday night, many of them received an email from the U.S. Geological Survey that warned of a large earthquake. The message reported a powerful 6.8 magnitude quake. Many people also saw similar Twitter messages from the government agency that follows seismic activity around the world. So they expected to feel the earth shake. But nothing happened. It turns out Wednesday's message was sent by mistake. So how did this happen? Researchers from the California Institute of Technology say they had been using new information to relocate the center of a 1925 earthquake off Santa Barbara, California. That quake severely damaged buildings and killed 13 people. The new information somehow caused an automated message to be sent out to email accounts and Twitter. A statement from the USGS said the research was misinterpreted by software as a current event. It said it is working to fix the issue. The fake quake report even affected newspaper writers in California and other places. They often use alerts from the USGS to begin their reports. On Wednesday, the Los Angeles Times, for example, sent out a story on the quake that it had to quickly correct. It later explained on Twitter that the newspaper has a computerized system that produces stories about earthquakes based on the USGS alerts. But the Times said the USGS alert was incorrect. The USGS does sometimes release false alarms, but they rarely are for quakes so big or in areas with so many people. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Many English learners have spent a lot of time studying the parts of speech, adjectives, nouns, and verbs, for example. But sometimes studying the English sentence from a larger perspective is useful. One way to get a bigger view of English is to study common sentence patterns. The English language has many patterns. In the book Rhetorical Grammar, author Martha Kohn describes 7 common sentence patterns. In other writings, she says that 95% of sentences in English fit into basic patterns. Understanding and mastering common patterns will not only help you do better on grammar tests, but improve your writing skills too. For example, here is a passage written by Ernest Hemingway, a famous American author. It comes from the short story, A Clean, Well-Lighted Place. The story is one of the most famous ones that Hemingway wrote.
This is a clean and pleasant cafe. It is well-lighted. The light is very good, and also now there are shadows of the leaves.
Do you notice patterns in these sentences? If you do not recognize them, you will by the end of this report. In this installment of Everyday Grammar, we are focusing on 2 of the most common patterns in English.
Consider a line from the song Beautiful by Christina Aguilera. The line shows the foundation of most sentences in English. A sentence equals a subject or a noun phrase plus a predicate or a verb phrase. A phrase is a group of words that act as a unit. A noun phrase has an important noun, the headword noun, along with words and phrases that give more information about it. The subject of a sentence is the whole noun phrase, not just the noun. The predicate is a verb phrase with a main verb and the words and phrases that give more information about it. If you take the sentence from the Aguilera song, you can analyze it like this.
The subject is I, and the predicate is am beautiful.
In this sentence, the adjective beautiful acts as the subject complement. It describes I, the subject. So, the song lyric is the first important sentence pattern in English.
Pattern number one is subject plus be plus subject complement.
The subject complement can be either an adjective or a noun phrase. For example, consider this line from the music group Queen. In that line, the subject is we. The predicate, are the champions, contains the be verb along with a subject complement, the champions. This noun phrase is describing the subject, we.
You might find sentences that appear more complicated, but use the same basic structure. Consider this song by the Beatles. Baby, you're the rich man. Baby, you're the rich man. Baby, you're the rich man. At first, the sentence appears complicated, but the basic structure of the sentence remains the same. Subject plus be plus subject complement. The difference is that the sentence has added information. A noun that is the same as the subject of the sentence.
Baby, you're a rich man. Or, noun, subject plus be plus subject complement.
The subject plus be plus subject complement pattern is not the only pattern you will find with the verb be. Consider these two sentences.
My friends are at the concert. The test was yesterday.
In these examples, the subject and the be verb are followed by adverbials, which are, in this case, words or phrases that tell where or when. In the first sentence, the adverbial structure is the prepositional phrase at the concert. In the second sentence, the adverbial structure is the adverb yesterday. These examples show another common be structure, subject plus be plus adverbial.
Think back to the Hemingway passage from the beginning of this story.
This is a clean and pleasant cafe. It is well lighted. The light is very good, and also now there are shadows of the leaves.
The second sentence clearly uses a pattern one structure.
The subject is it. The be verb is is. The subject complement is well lighted. The sentence is, it is well lighted.
But if you look closely, you will see every sentence in the passage uses pattern number one. Two of the sentences use conjunctions, but they still depend on the same basic pattern. Hemingway was famous for his short, declarative style. However, he did not write using basic pattern one and two sentences only. Good writers know how to make their sentences come to life. They do not write the same sentences over and over again.
I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.